Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Titans getting ready to play the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, man, Monday night football. And
Monday night, you know, both coming off a bye. I mean, this is a once you've experienced your bye and done the things you need to do in your bye, then you need to start making the push for what's going on. And regardless of what your record is, now is the time, you know, in November to, if you haven't done it before, you need to start stacking wins now, because this is coming down to the end now.
Well, it's Monday Night Football. It's the Cowboys, America's team, all that stuff.
Right.
And, you know, I spent time as a kid in Houston. That's when I became a sports fan. And I understand that the organization back then and the Cowboys organization, they did not like each other. And people in Houston and people in Dallas do not like each other. And I know that, you know, they're the Titans now, but family's still the family. And this is an important game.
Absolutely. And, you know, you grew up down there in Houston. And but that thing between Dallas and Houston, of course, you know, I'm all my life Texan, and that's a real thing.
That's a real thing. Preseason game was like a regular game, like a regular season. We're going to beat your butt. Even though it's a preseason game.
But, you know,
game.
It was a real thing, and it goes back to a lot of the economy and what's going on there. Back in the old Southwest Conference, you know, you had those teams down there, you know Texas A&M and you know, that were down there, you know, big Houston people, and then you got SMU, TCU people in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. I mean, there's a lot to it. But anyway, it's an important game, and it's a big game for both teams. You know, you look at it from both teams' aspect. You've got two football teams that are 3-4, you know, in their individual conferences. They both still have a very realistic chance of winning their division if they can get on a roll. So, you know, Monday nights are big stages anyway, but regardless of the size of the stage, the importance of the game is pretty much.
Right, the Monday night aspect to this. So as a coach, players are creatures of habits. Athletes are creatures of habits. So are coaches. So how do you deal with the Monday night deal? I mean, is it easy to just sell this as another game?
Well, no. Here's, you know, coming off of a bye week, it's a little different because you've had some time, and so you can. And what Mike Vrabel did, I like. You know, today he treated today like a Tuesday, so today was their day off. Brought them back in Monday, had a nice practice Monday, and then they'll start to implement their game plan. Today was their off day, and then they'll go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday's your travel day. And so that, to me, that's the way to do it. The worst part about, you know, and I've been involved in, I can't tell you how many Monday night games over 30 plus years, you know, as a coach, but the hardest part about a Monday night football game, just from a, you know, aspect of a coach and a player, is the waiting all day Monday. That's the part, is because you've got a lot of time. You know, you can chop it up with meetings and what you do, but at the same time, you've got some pretty good downtime during the day Monday before you really get into your pregame routine, your pregame, you know, meetings and meals, those types of things. And so that's the aspect of it that you have to have pretty well planned out.
And you can't have guys peak too early. You can't have people all jacked up at, you know, noon when they normally play, or 3 p.m., right? You really have to find a way to pace guys to get them so they're ready to play at 7 p.m.
No, Mickey, that's a fair point. It's a very fair point, and it's very real too. And so that is what I'm saying. That time that you have from the time you wake up Monday morning and have a later breakfast or a brunch, and then before you start your meetings and get into your pregame routine, you need to be able to know that's a time to either catch up on some of your final film or brush up on your final game plan. But again, you cannot peak too early, and you're 100% right. I mean, that's the part of it. You don't want to expend a lot of energy, you know, before you start really getting ready, you know, 4 hours before the ball game.
It's interesting, Coach. I was thinking about the Titans playing on Monday night, and it's something they haven't done a whole lot of in recent years. They haven't had a Sunday night game in quite a while now. That's the premier game, obviously, for the NFL. But if you're one of the elite TV teams for this league, you play Monday night, Sunday nights. Everybody plays a Thursday night, but you play more of those games. Think about a team like the Patriots. Their schedule, as they look at it each year, is probably nuts to try to manage that normalcy, because you're constantly playing on a different day and a different time as opposed to some of the lesser televised teams in the league where you pretty much play at noon on Sunday.
No, and if you ask every coach and player in the National Football League either presently or that has ever been in the league before, noon on Sunday is what you would like to do.
Sure.
That's what you would like to do. I remember, though, when I first got to the Bears, we had three Monday night games a year.
Right.
Because that was the team. We were the team and the Giants and the Redskins and the 49ers, and we were always playing those teams. So you had three Monday nights. And you make a good point, Mickey. Now the way the league has been set and the way that you know they flexing games now and doing all those things, all coaching staffs now have pretty much, you know, you have somebody that has been through either a Sunday night game or a Monday night game or a Thursday night game or a Saturday game that we'll have some flex to later in the year. So you have your schedule, you know, kind of, you know, it's not new to anybody. Somebody within your organization has already experienced it. But I promise you, the first thing that head coaches do once the schedule comes out in April is they will take and look and see, and they will get their schedules. Now, you can always make them malleable where they can be, where you can change them depending on what your team is doing. But they'll have schedules set for each one of those different types of starting times.
All right. Trading deadline was yesterday. Titans unable to make a move. What's your reaction to that?
Well, the guys they have got to do it. I mean, that's my reaction. You know, the players on this football team have got to do it. And that, of course, that should be, I mean, when you start the season, I mean, that's the team that you've worked all offseason to put together, and that's what you've done. And so, I mean, you've put together players and so, you know, they have to do it. And again, you know, making trades at this time, I mean, it's because when they move the trading deadline back, you know, that they've done, it has made it a little bit more, you know, agreeable to teams to do that. And plus, the compensatory picks, that makes a big difference in the trading, too. The compensatory picks with salaries that are coming up, I mean, it's a little bit different now than it used to be. But at the end of it, you ask me what I'd say. If you don't get somebody new, the people you have are the people that you trusted to begin with. And so that's, they have to perform.
Had somebody send me a Twitter message, and I'm sure they would love to hear this from you. Does this tell your guys then, ultimately, we didn't overspend or stretch on anybody? We have confidence in you. Does that maybe make them more confident? Hey, they didn't get a guy. They trust me. Or does that put them on notice? There was a lot of talk about it. Maybe they did try. Maybe we need to do more.
You know what, Mickey? Hopefully, you've got the right kind of guys in your locker room anyway. They don't need to be reminded that that it's really important, you know, that they perform optimally every time they go out there.
Right.
These are professional athletes. There's not very many people that do what they do. And so, to me, I mean, if you've got the right type of people in your locker room, which I truly believe the Titans do, they don't need to be reminded of anything. What they need to do is to get some things straightened away, both, you know, offensively, defensively, and special teams wise, so that they can make those two or three plays in the ball game that they have not been making, so they can start stacking some wins.
I'm crazy, you know that. Okay, so Brandon Marshall was released yesterday. So here was my big idea. I want to sign Brandon Marshall as a tight end. 6'5", 230. It's like Jordan when he went from outside to the back to the basket guy.
No, wait a minute. Brandon Marshall. And Brandon Marshall, believe me, when Brandon Marshall was brand new, that was a dude too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but no.
He's not brand new.
He's not brand new anymore.
Now, you mentioned him. You said with Michael Jordan. I was in Chicago when sometimes Michael Jordan came into Chicago. I've sat courtside in the old, you know, Chicago Stadium when he was started and they were going. And
freak athlete.
You think?
Oh, my gosh.
No, so but anyway, I mean, probably not going to happen.
I tell people all the time, like, you want to see, like, because whether you like the NBA, don't like the NBA, whatever, if you ever get a chance to go sit low at an NBA game and watch the athleticism of those big dudes, you have never seen anything like it.
That, you know, that's so true. And that, I mean, you're spot on with that.
So I can't imagine, like, late 80s, mid 80s Michael Jordan.
No, of course. See, you know, I was with the Bears then, and the Bears were running hot. So we had, you know, access to a lot of things. And, you know, Jordan and Pippen would be at Bears practice and on the sidelines. And it was pretty good time. So, but anyway, when you go to those games, the NBA games, and you really do, if you really appreciate athletic ability, whether you know anything about basketball or not, you know, the intricacies of you know, basketball strategy, you just watch those athletes. It's pretty special to watch. It really is.
All right, big game. We talked about it a little bit. We'll get more into it, more involved. Both teams 3-4. This is a huge game. Patriots coming in town next week. Titans need to win.
Yeah, don't even worry about the Patriots right now. I mean, it's got to be all Cowboys focused on Monday night. Again, as I said, both teams have coming off an open date. I mean, the Cowboys, you can see how they, I mean, they fired a coach in the open date. Fired an offensive line coach. You know, they brought Hudson Hauk back in as a senior advisor who is, you know, and who Jerry Jones has always liked since he was there with Norv and Jim. I mean, the whole group. I mean, that is very, very important now, because you got to look and see. They're putting a lot of onus on their offensive line, because they know, and plus, you know, they trade for Amari Cooper, give up a number one pick, you know. And so, you know, people are asking me, I mean, I'm getting all the time, people started calling immediately, how much you think they're going to use him. And I said, what do you mean? They gave up a number one pick for him. He'll be out there every snap. You know, and plus, you know, and Scott Linehan has always kind of had an affinity to 11 personnel anyway, which is three wides, one tight end, one back. Now he's got a guy that he's, I mean, this, Jason Garrett and Scott Linehan were saying, we don't have that receiver we need. Well, they went and got it, and they mortgaged the future for it. So you better produce. And plus, by firing your offensive line coach, they're telling that offensive line, we don't like the amount of sacks that Dak Prescott is taking. We've got a very, very good back in the National Football League in Ezekiel Elliott. You know, we need to be able to continue to move the ball with his legs. So now the onus is on you guys too. So believe me, I mean, there's a lot of importance attached to this ball game for both franchises.
All right, we'll break it down when we come back. Hey, have you seen any like weird haunted stuff out there in the West Texas
look
darkness?
Look, I've grown up in West Texas. My grandfather's in the oil business, and you go run those rigs at night, and you're out there, and I mean, you got one barbed wire fence between there and Colorado to stop the wind, and there's all kind of stuff, and it's darker than 10,000 midnights. I promise you, I mean, your ears are on high alert, and you hear stuff that you don't even want to. I mean, you don't even ask, what is that? You just, how far can I get away from that? You know, whatever that is. And, you know, out in West Texas, going towards El Paso, there's a town called Marfa that they've got, you know, just Google up Marfa lights.
Marfa,
M-A-R-F-A. Google up the Marfa lights and just, I mean, you'll get a whole lot of supernatural stuff. And then, you know, the piney woods of East Texas down there when it's so dark. I mean, look, and I'm not a real brave guy, but, you know, I'm not one of those guys that passes out either. But look, there's some stuff that you can't explain that you just leave it alone, because if you leave it alone, it'll probably leave you alone. And so you're fine.
That's like what my kids say. Yeah. I tell my kids that about wasps. Leave it alone. It'll leave you alone.
That's good parenting.
You can kill a wasp with soapy water.
Yeah, well, look.
Soapy water. Don't need a bug spray.
Yeah.
I don't think you can kill a ghost with soapy water.
I went out to my mailbox today talking about wasps. There's one of those big reds. You know those big reds?
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'll get my mail later. Because those dudes hit you, it's like a hypodermic needle. Just leave them alone.
Alex on Twitter, A3HL, can we get the Ray Lewis Halloween track sometime today? JT, you got that? I think Coach Mack would enjoy that, too. My theory is that, and it was disproved yesterday, but that anything put on top of the Halloween soundtrack, you know, the Halloween, the movie soundtrack, like that music.
Yes.
From Halloween, the movie, that anything you put there is scary.
No. And you know what? I can go with that. Now, it's probably not as scary. We're sitting here with the lights on,
right?
You know, but you know, Ray Lewis, pretty scary anyway. So
the league was about to strike. And so Ray Lewis talked about what would happen if the league went on strike. And so we put the Halloween music underneath this. Check it out.
Yes. Fans. Yes. Yes, who their livelihoods do this research if we don't have a season. Watch how much evil, which we call it crime. Watch how much crime picks up if you take away our game.
I mean,
look, somebody's gonna have to walk me to my car after we get through with this show.
I mean, you're right.
That's pretty solid.
Ray Lewis was scary enough on the field, playing.
Yes, he was.
I meant to ask you about this last week. Somebody tried to compare Khalil Mack to Lawrence Taylor, and they asked Bill Belichick, just trying to make a comparison.
No, don't even start. Please.
That's basically what Belichick said was,
please.
You can't compare anybody to Lawrence Taylor. There's one Lawrence Taylor.
Transcendent. He changed the game.
He gave, even for Belichick, who normally is not wordy, like he just stopped the guy and said, don't.
No, no, that's just what I just, what did I just do?
Same Please. Thing.
Don't. Look, I coached Lawrence Taylor in a Pro Bowl 1 year. You know, I was at the, we coached the Pro Bowl 1 year, and I'm over there, and I've got Lawrence Taylor, I've got Mike Singletary, I've got Sam Mills, I've got Scott Studwell, I've got Michael Kofer. I mean, come on. LT, now that was back, look, this is a story. Coach Max got a few of them. Look, we're over there in Hawaii, and we're playing, and at the time, the winning team, players and coaches, got $15,000. The losing team got $5,000. Mm. Okay,
and guys were trying to win.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Look, and so you know, Dick is the coach. So all now we had our team was loaded. We had Herschel. We had Randall Cunningham. I mean, it was for real. Okay. Anyway, this NFC team that we had was really, really, really good. Okay. So anyway. We're in the ball game, and it's getting close. And I had a rotation for those linebackers. You know, they let me play like I was in charge. And, you know, and I was telling him, okay, this is his turn, his turn, his turn. It got to the fourth quarter, and we were needing some stuff. And so it wasn't LT's time to go in the game, you know. And so I think it was probably, let's say it's Michael Kofer's turn in there. So Lawrence starts in the ball game. And I said, no, LT. I said, look, this is Michael Kofer's. This is his set of downs. He turned around, looked at me, and went, "You want the money? I want the money. I'm going in." And I said, "Okay."
You're like, "Yes, sir.
Yes, sir."
Yeah, and guess what? We won. So now Lawrence Taylor was a transcendent player. He was, and of course, back in those days, you know, the Bears and the Giants and the Redskins and the 49ers were the NFC teams, and we played them a lot. I mean, Lawrence Taylor was special.
Coach Mack with us, Dave McGinnis, Titans radio analyst. All right, when you look at this matchup, Titans, Dallas Cowboys,
okay.
From a Titan defensive perspective, what do you see out of that Dallas offense?
Okay, well, look, Scott Linehan, in his history, he's liked to be 11 personnel. Now, he hasn't been able to be that as much as he would like because they've been doing it, you know, with receiver by committee.
Right.
They've got a very good running back, okay? They lost a little bit on their offensive line when Frederick, you know, is not able to play now. They've been a little bit inconsistent on that offensive line, but that offensive line is really, really good. You know, Linehan has always been a guy that really – you know, just if he had his druthers, he likes to throw the ball more than he likes to run it. But he's got an offensive line and a real running back. And then plus in this quarterback in Prescott, they, you know, with Dak, you know, what they need to do with him is get a running game. And so they can get him in some favorable downs for him because and he's a really good quarterback when he can get in rhythm and get on the move some. If you can keep him in the cylinder and put him into predictable passing downs, you know, sometimes he's not real good at scanning the field, you know, automatically. He's a big athlete, can stick his foot in the ground and take off. When you get in a high red zone, you've got to be very, very alert to the fact they have quarterback designed runs for him. But the thing that is impressive about, you know, ask me about their offense, but what is making that Dallas team go right now? They got a really good defense.
They really do.
And nobody really talks about it, but that defense that Rod Marinelli has, and I'll say this, when they brought Chris Richard in from Seattle to give some of the different coverage concepts, some of those three deep, some of those three buzz, 3Z concepts that they have, you know, what I mean by that, they run a post safety, but it looks like too deep because Rod Marinelli has normally been a Tampa 2 coach coverage-wise, you know, four-man rush, cover two, you know, a lot of his career. Well, now that he's got Chris Richard there that has implemented some of Seattle's back end stuff where they bogey and move around and make something look like it's going to be middle of the field open and then close it and play man on the backside and hot buzz to the strong side, which means outrunning underneath receivers. I mean, they're really good. And this defense is strong. And the Van Der Esch kid that they've got, Jalen Smith, they got Sean Lee back. I mean, this, DeMarcus Lawrence, I mean, this is a legitimate, legitimate defense. They're number two in the league against the score. And the more I just sat there and grinded tape on them last week watching them, you see what's propping up that football team right now is that defense. And if they can get their offense up to that level that they want to, and as we talked in the earlier segment, Jerry Jones has put that offense on notice. You know, okay, I've traded a number one, you know, pick next year for a receiver that you said this is what you need. Fired an offensive line coach. You say you don't like the techniques we're teaching, you know, protecting the passer, you know, see if our run schemes can get a little bit better. Hand the ball to Elliott. So to me, I mean, we're going to get the best out of Dallas. And as I said, don't Don't mistake the fact that this defense is a legitimate defense in this league.
We're up against a break, but when we come back, can we maybe talk about what Marcus Mariota, what the offense can do to attack that Dallas defense to see what they could do damage to it?
Sure. I guess. I'll make some guesses. I mean, it's not like I'm the know-all to be-all of National Football League football, but we'll do it.
Got about 40 more years experience than us two combined.
Not a hair more than we do. Just a hair.
We were talking about this on the other side of the break, Coach. You discussed a lot of what the Cowboys are doing, and very successfully, I might add,
defensively. Number 2 points per game, number 3 total yards per game, number 3 passing defense, number 9 in rush defense.
Just no, and that's legit, and that's through half a year. And so, I mean, they're very legit. Mm-hmm. So go ahead, Mickey.
Just as an offensive philosophy, how would you attack a defense like that? I know the Redskins ran the ball on them pretty well 2 weeks ago. Adrian Peterson, I think, was 24 carries for 99 yards, and he's still a special guy at any age. But, can you have success running maybe more than passing, obviously, and against a team like that?
Well, you have to have a balance. And the thing that you can't let them do, you can't let them get settled in on one thing. Now, I mentioned Chris Richard, who came in from Seattle with, a lot of these coverage concepts. And, having played Seattle for a lot of years, when I was with the Rams, that NFC West, I mean, that defense is meant, it's a three-deep shell type of a look that they disguise a lot. But what you can do, if you can run the football and start getting that safety, that off safety that they use in a lot of different ways to start creeping closer to the field, then you open up some of those seams behind the four underneath stuff with those TRCs, those transcontinentals out of reduced splits. But you've got to be able to run the football first. I mean, that's extremely important, because you want to run the football, start to widen their anchor points a little bit, and then start to get their safeties being nosy. In other words, start working down. If they can stay back there in that shell, and they can play and they can play your run with a 6 or 7 man front, well, then they're going to have the coverage answers all day, because they have very specific things they do against 3x1 and against 2x2 sets. And so you have to be able to run the football.
Titans have added a fullback, a guy that Titans fans know well, Jalen Fowler coming back. Obviously, to beef up the run game, maybe give Luke Stocker a little bit of a break from his fullbacking duties as well. I mean,
well, that's what I would think. I mean, you don't really know. I mean, it's not like and again, I remember vetting Nudie Fowler when he came out of Alabama. I mean, the guy is a good football player. I mean, he was a running back. He can catch the ball. I mean, he's got those skills. I mean, he looks to be in very, 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 very good shape. But again, that would be my idea. But again, as I said, that's just another piece,
How important has this bye week been for any coaching staff, much less a rookie head coach, a first-time play caller, and a staff that's still, I would imagine, trying to gel together some after 7 games? How important is a bye week for them?
Well, I know, Mike Vrabel and Dean Pease, and to me, what they do, and what your coordinators, Matt LaFleur, you get with your staff, you already have all your film broken down. I mean, you've already had your quality control assistants. You have your film already ready during the bye week. They have it broken down. They have it subsetted, personnel, down and distance, explosive plays for and against, what was good for us, what was bad for us, what did work, what didn't work. You have all those subsets broken down in tape where you as a staff can sit down and you've got a program that you run through. You say, okay, here's what we're going to work on today. This hour, the next hour, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. It's extremely important. Self-evaluation during the bye week is huge, because look, the National Football League is not a static league. Right. It's an ever evolving league week to week, and especially quarter to quarter. It's ever evolving. That's why it's so important. Once you start getting some, a lot of tape on the deck, when you start looking at people and start getting your game plans together, you don't only look at the last 3 or 4 games. You go back and look at games way, way early to see how they have evolved also, right, to see what they've evolved to and what they've evolved away from because of things that hurt them. You do all of that in your open date. It's extremely valuable. It's very important because you need pertinent information to give to your team when they come back as a team, as an offense, as a defense, and then as a subset when you break down into your individual rooms.
I think that's really interesting, talking about the league always evolving. And I'd read that about Chip Kelly, that he came in and he had some principles that people weren't familiar with. And once they adjusted, he didn't really have an answer for it.
Yeah, no. This league is not a static league at all, and that's something you learn very early. And if you've been in it for a long time, like I have, I mean, you learn how to go back and find patterns, and you go back not only to see what people do well, you see what people have done well against your opponent that has hurt them, that they have quit, you know, doing things. And so then you try to figure out a way to whatever they have evolved to. How can I still give them this same problem with what they have evolved to? I mean, it's a constant. That's why coaches spend 20 hours a day in the office watching tape. I mean, all the answers are on the tape as far as to what people do. Now, how you are able to counteract that is up to you.
Communication and it's execution and all of those things.
Well, it always comes down to your players. I mean, it always comes down to your players. I mean, making plays, but for your players to make plays, you need to have a very clear and concise game plan and a clear and concise plan for them. And once you get that, and then it comes down to making plays on the field, which, as we all know, sometimes you can be the perfect setup and it still goes the other way. And then sometimes you can be completely, you know, discombobbled and make a play and turns it for you.
I just think about a Major League Baseball pitcher that sometimes will tip their pitches and they catch it. Somebody on the staff
catches
it.
Like Hugh Darvish last year, Houston said they
knew what was coming.
They knew what was coming.
He was tipping his pitches.
They rocked him twice.
Do you have, or do you remember having either in a bye week or just sometime through your quality control coach is just finding something and having a eureka moment where you realize, oh my gosh, we were supposed to be doing this instead of this?
No, the answer is yes, absolutely. And you talk about tips. I mean, that's huge. Tips are extremely important that you can watch. I mean, and again, I've said this before on this program. I've talked to you guys about it. Our listeners have heard this, but you study schemes in the National Football League, you know, and you big picture and panorama schemes, but you attack individuals. And so you find out, you know, what hurts people, and then you decide how you can best use your people to attack those, because really you don't get a lot of possessions in a National Football League game.
Right.
And so it's going to be very important to do that. But tips, absolutely. Tips are huge. Tips are huge. That's why, I mean, everybody in the league, every coaching staff in the league that I've ever been on, you know, I used to do it a lot, is you watch the TV copy of the games and you go and you pick up everything that Parabolic Mike picks up. You pick up that, you sync it with what the play is, you look and you see, especially in 2 minute, you look at all the hand signals, you grind it back, you zero magnify it in. I mean, the answer is yes.
Well, possessions are certainly going to be at a premium. You mentioned the Dallas defense, number 2 in the league in points per game. Titans are number 3. So this is going to be just one of those hard-hitting, physical, every play matters kinds of games.
Last time I was, when I was coaching, the last time we've been down there, I think it's when we won. Was it 2010 when Mark Mariani returned that kickoff down to the 2-yard line?
I was at that game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so was I. And
you had a better seat than he did.
Yeah, I was cheering.
But that was a physical football game, yes, if you remember. And Mark Mariani turned that game on that return. And what was so cool about that return that he made, and again, you know, just a little insight, and I'll give Mark some props because I love Mariani anyway. I mean, that was, you know, I love his whole story. But anyway, the way that stadium is configured, the light that comes through those windows down there is about that time of day where it was, I mean, when you walk down there pregame and you start looking, seeing, you know, going, it's going to be tough to catch kickoffs, especially the arc of a kickoff coming down. And he fielded that thing. I mean, I'm not sure he saw it till it got into him. But then the one thing that was about Mark Mariani that was outstanding as a returner, he was fearless. And when he would throw himself right up into that thicket, and he would hit it full speed. That was a big return. That won the game for us.
You remember who tackled him, though, and this still haunts him?
Was it the kicker?
The kicker.
No. But the kicker was an athlete.
That guy was Jack.
No, the kicker was an athlete. He was a linebacker in college.
Yeah.
And I mean, and he was ripped. I mean, he ran about a 4.4 nothing at the combine. Yeah. So let's not say that Mariani was caught by some dude off the couch.
Yeah, it wasn't like Kern making that tackle the other day.
Don't say that.
He made it.
Love you, BK.
Yeah.
Thank you, Coach Mack.
We done?
Yes, we're done.
Happy Halloween.